introduced James as a very practical book, I will not recant that statement. Studying through the passage we went through last week, I want to detail out some other items before we move on. Last week at verse 12, I said the word blessed does not simply mean happy. And I'd like to start with that and work our way down through at least verses 19 and 20 and maybe 22, and we'll see beyond that. Blessed. Let me read it and then we'll come back and talk about it. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I would like to talk about the word blessed a bit more. We've talked about the rest of the verse already. Blessed can mean happy. It can mean fulfilled. It can mean fortunate. Happy is the man who perseveres under trial. Just doesn't seem to have a ring to it. Fulfilled or completed, yeah. Yeah, fortunate. Fortunate to have made it through, yes. But also with the riches that come from it. But there's a bit more. One writer said that it is a state of contentedness that is not affected by circumstances. I think I have to admit I've not arrived. A state of contentedness that is not affected by circumstances. Blessed. Another called it a state of well-being or joy. I like those. Regarding the trials. Regarding the trials of temptation, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. That is a wrong conclusion, absolutely. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. And then the description, of course, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. It's down inside. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Jesus said, out of the heart of man come those. It's not the things that go into the man that defile him. It's what comes out. Because in his heart reside all of those sins. And it's like the temptation offers an outlet for that which is inside to be fulfilled, if I can use that word there. Just a thought, but I think it's what James means. Getting into verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. This is not just a toss-in statement. Do not be deceived about what he has written. Temptations are not from God. God uses trials. And about what follows. Do not be deceived. Look at verse 22. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves or delude themselves. Verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Chapter 3 and verse 14 alludes to the same type of thing. The two kinds of wisdom, one from above, one from below. Verse 14, 3:14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Don't deceive yourself thinking that that's a wisdom from God. If you see that stuff going on, that's stinky fruit. No, that's a different sort of wisdom that James goes on to call earthly and natural and demonic. So, back to verse 16, chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The temptations are not from him. And if the thing received is evil, it comes from a different source than our God. Let's read verse 17, and I want to highlight this. every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Verse 17 has been opened up to me by this commentary set by a German fellow whose last name is Lenski. He says about verse 17, it is a reference to the giver and to the gift. He wrote, Lenski wrote, in everything that is given, we see giving, the act. And the giving always has something it gives. Now, I'm not playing with words here, nor was Lenski. He's bringing out these thoughts. Both of these, the giver and his quality, and the gift and its quality, are from above, descending to us from God. Lenski gave this also as a translation. All giving, parenthetically, that is good, and everything given, parenthetically, that is complete, is from God. Everything that is good is from God. Everything that is complete is from God. Don't be deceived thinking that came from a different source. Here's what I conclude from this thought process. Ours is not an impersonal God, but a relational Father. A person, though not to bring him down to our level of personhood, who is the giver. Ours is not a mighty, oppressive, sadistic overlord that must be appeased in all the ways the gods of the pagans supposedly demand. Our God is the creator above the universe, above the luminaries. And so he says, the Father of lights. It's written to practical, simple people like us. The Father of lights is not getting into some esoterical, mystical weirdness. I think he's just saying, there's the sun, there's the moon, there's the stars, which are worshipped as gods by many. He's the Father of lights. Our God is the creator above the luminaries. The luminaries, they change, whether by seasons or by days and nights, by clouds and eclipses, but he never changes. There is no shifting shadow with him. There is no variation with him. Our God is good. Our God is caring. Our God is very benevolent, giving all good things. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, without reproach, without upbraiding, without holding it against you for coming and asking again. Let him ask. And continue to ask for wisdom. And then at verse 17, every good thing bestowed, given. Given by that good giver. And every perfect gift, complete, if it has those virtues, know it is from, and it comes down from, our Father, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shifting shadow. He doesn't change the rules on us. He makes no demands. If it's good, it's from him. If it's not good, it's not from him. Verse 16, do not be deceived. The bad stuff is not from him. The good is completely from him. Okay, let's stop and allow for a little interaction. Anybody have thoughts beginning to adjust themselves? Yes, Sir Michael?
Well, I always have looked at the word blessed as something that we receive, not something that we deserve.
Okay, good.
And that is like a perfect definition of it. 17 would be the definition of... didn't have much to do with us.
Okay. Thankfully. And giving.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Elizabeth?
I was just thinking of, you know, God is a God of goodness, and good things come from him. And even though we experience bad things, he may not have sent them. But my understanding is that everything that we experience, God allows. I mean, like, you know, God didn't give Paul cancer, but God is walking him through it, and God knew it was coming, and God sees the whole picture. So cancer is bad, but God is good in what he allows, because he allows grace and mercy and peace and those things that we look to him for to sustain us through those bad things.
Let's be reminded of where James started. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Yes, absolutely, amen. Go ahead, Fred.
All too often, or naturally, we turn to God when we have problems. We need this, we pray for that, we have sickness, we have concerns. But all good things come from God, so we don't praise enough. We don't say enough, thank you for my family, thank you for my house, thank you for my income. You know,
amen.
We are incredibly rich, no matter how humble our circumstances are here, compared to the rest of the world. And we can't just take that for granted, that all of that comes from above. And we don't give enough praise. I really don't think so.
I agree. I'm certain. I'm going to go Caleb.
I would kind of like to backpack off of what you said. I don't remember when it was, but it's got to be 4 months ago now. But we had a guest speaker who kind of challenged us all to do 5 thankful things every day that we're thankful for.
Okay.
And he was like, it's going to change your outlook, it's going to change your attitude, all of that. And I was very skeptical and was like, well, I dare God to change my attitude. I seem to be very pessimistic, very logical, and very down to earth when it comes, oh, well, this is bad. We can't just magically create something that's good out of it. But when I spent the time within the first week, it wasn't just, well, I'm just thankful that I got a job or something. It boils down to the smallest, most little insignificant things that you would never think of. And then it's 10 things, and then it's 15 and 20. And then after a while, you have to stop writing them down and just pray and be thankful. And be like, I can't come up with enough words to be thankful for the amount of grace you've given me.
Do you remember how Paul worded it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Dave Winchester?
Yeah. Dan, there are 2 words that are commonly translated blessed in our English Bibles. And this is the one that places the emphasis on the source of the good stuff. The other word puts the emphasis on that which we receive. is from the words we get, eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
So we remember the good things about Caleb or anybody else. That's what the eulogy is. But in this case, it's not. And it's why sometimes the word lucky is used, because the source is beyond ourselves. It's outside of us. And it's bestowed on us. We're, in the secular sense, lucky. But we're blessed. We are blessed.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ron.
Is blessed a condition that's achieved or received at the time of salvation? And are we always blessed, or do we go in and out of blessing? Blessed, I mean happy, I'm sometimes happy, but then bad things happen and I'm not happy, but I'm still blessed.
The wording here seems to be an ongoing experiential evaluation, not just at the end of the run. Yes, absolutely, for salvation. He drew me up out of that miry clay, you know, the psalmist said, put my feet on the solid rock. That's blessed, absolutely. But through the trials, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. And it continues on. And that crown of life, is it just at the end of the run? I don't know, because James doesn't explain it. It may be that it is that kingdom life that is coming alive and applied to you more and more as you progress in the Lord. I don't know. James did not go any deeper into it. And it may be that both are true. I think God's grace, his reign reigns on the just and on the unjust. I know that God, I can see his fingerprints providing for me and protecting me from my own stupidity before I ever bowed my heart to Jesus. I know God did that. So I would have to say, yes, they are blessed. But this is talking to believers. And it is giving us some encouragement to keep persevering, keep pressing forward. And that is this blessing of God. Dave?
I believe that God blesses unbelievers with just his common grace. And then I believe also that he blesses unbelievers who later he regenerates and brings to faith in Christ. I just finished reading a book I was telling Dave about yesterday, about a man who miraculously survived unbelievable things during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And later, many years later, he came to faith in Christ and began preaching Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you. Sherilyn?
Yes, I think that it's the ultimate blessing that we're talking about, no matter what the circumstances in life, that we might call good or might not. I mean, the definition of good is a big one. But it's that thing you started out with, who made all of this? Where does it come from? And even the trials that help you find him, help you bow your knee, help you run in his embrace somehow are true blessings. Mm-hmm. And so to really define, you know, what is good and, you know, am I looking for the Creator, not the good, quote-unquote, thing?
Just good stuff. Right. Dave?
I kind of want to, I guess, offer one, an apology. On the other hand, it's an encouragement, I hope. I am not a Greek scholar. I'm learning how to use the tools that are available to all of us here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at our Strong's Concordance and use our minds to recognize there are two separate words that can be translated blessed. That's not Greek scholarship.
Right.
It's just recognition. And which word is used here, and what's the difference between the two?
Mm-hmm.
We look at verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres. The emphasis is on the one who gives us the perseverance. It's not because we suck it up, we grit our teeth, and we're going to pursue on regardless. No. Something outside of us, God, is giving us the ability and the wisdom to see what's going on and to react properly to it. That blessing is outside of us, and we don't really control it. Perhaps in the use of it, but we don't control it.
Good. Thank you. I was actually, along with your introduction right there, thanking the Lord out loud. My family was still asleep, but they thought I was crazy probably, for the teachers that have gone ahead and are, I'm still learning from them. Yes. Even though they're dead and gone. You know, really. The Lord, it's not originating from here. But the application for us comes down to what my mind does and choices I make with it. I want to go a little bit further here. Verse 16, the temptations are not from him, and if the thing received is evil, it comes from a different source than our God. I said that once, and then all that is good by God's standard of goodness is from him. That opens up so very, very much, because I have to evaluate, was that a God virtue within that good thing that happened? I don't know. Was that a good deal that I got? Some of the good deals I got, I've had to pay for years. Dumb. Was that God? It was worldly good, not God good. So the stuff that is defined by God as good is good, and that comes from him. And there is no other source. That's a really important aspect here. And I believe it's solidly being taught right here. Every good thing bestowed or given, every perfect gift is from above. Everyone coming down from our Father, the Father of lights, who doesn't change. If it's good by God's definition, it came from God. If it's good according to the world standard or according to my own lusts and desires and cravings and what the world says is good, that ain't from God. So, looking at my daily grind of a life, can I... Oh, yesterday, I was silly. I was absolutely silly. My wife needed a Band-Aid. I was up in our Band-Aid container getting a Band-Aid and couldn't get this stupid wrapper undone. Finally ripped it and the Band-Aid stuck to itself. So then I repeated the process and it stuck to itself again. And my outburst, you know, and start took over and we got a Band-Aid. Okay, there is something that happens down at verse 19 about quick to anger, slow to anger. Okay, where's the goodness in this? Well, what did I talk about? Stupid Chinese-made Band-Aids. We used to have real ones that worked, you know? And not the kind that fall off or the kind you can't get off, but just simple Band-Aids. Where'd they go? Well, we're in a corrupt world. We're in a world that is not evolving, it is devolving. And it's even in the little things in life. Okay, Lord, where are you in this whole thing? Well, working on your mind, buddy. Tomorrow you're going to talk on verse 19. Ha! Huh. Jamie! This, no, beloved brethren, we're coming back to this next week, I can see by my watch. But let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That little thing, how important is that little thing? I'm going to come back, we're going to finish out verse 18. It's really important, because I'm going to go from the little thing back to what is best of all the gifts. Yes, he is working on me in those little dumb things to do something inside of me to make me more of Christ-like. And when I fail the pop quiz, I haven't failed the test. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, help me here. Look at the greatest gift of all. Verse 18. Every good thing comes down from the Father of lights. Great. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth, and it is literally the word birthed. He birthed us by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. The greatest gift is that he birthed us. And how did he do that? By his word of truth. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 1, after verse 22 or so, or at verse 22 and 23. Paul talks about it. Something about his logos that has done this. It is through the word of the blood of Christ, no question. It is by grace, through faith, no question. But it is him that declared it to be so. He did this by his word of truth. And why did he do it? He says it right here. So that we would be preeminent above his creatures. Preeminent above creation, created beings. In the exercise of his will, again, back to Dave, what you said, it's about the one, about him. It's nothing I can do to make this happen. He birthed us by the word of truth, that's the how, so that, here's the why, we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures, the greatest gift of all. And now looking at it in a daily walk, every good thing that's good by God's defining is from him. Ongoing relationship. It's about the giver who is good and who is active in our life, giving and giving and giving. The end of Romans 11, we read it last week, we may read that verse again this morning. Who gave to him? That it might be paid back again. The answer is within the question. It's rhetorical. There is none. He doesn't owe any of us. He is good. And has brought us into himself. And is continuing to give and give and give and give. Verse 19 gets into a therefore. And I'm going to give you the first line and then drop it till next week, God willing. This, you know, my beloved brethren, might be better understood as an imperative. Know this. Know this. Think about this. Realize it and work within that realm. Know this. I'm going to stop there. You know, the quick question or comment? Because it does attach itself to what has already been as well as what's coming. Javier.
When you bring up Romans 11, that who's given to him and now he owes them, that was the verse that kind of shut the door on this idea of karma to me. To where we could have God indebted to us by something we have done or some way we behave, however that works, and how much better to not have that be the deal, because we don't offer anything good in God's economy.
I appreciate your wisdom and your insight in seeing that. That's really good. Specifically in our age and era, for how long have we wrestled with that karma idea that is put to rest? Jen, go ahead.
Just an experience I had this last week, and it's not really important. My dog had a tag that you could, you know, he goes around, you can find it. I lost it, and I went around for a whole week looking for it, and in my way of looking for it with my flashlight doing all this, I finally prayed, and then I found it in my shoe.
And I look at that, Jen, time and again I see that, and I say, God has a sense of humor. And he's very much there and real. Thank you.
Well, I agree with what Javier said about the idea of karma. And it's really easy to see how people came up with that idea in the first place. I noticed when I started thinking about it, there's just dozens and dozens of examples in Scripture where God makes it clear that he takes that person's specific sin and just brings it right back on his own head.
Yeah.
That's what people who don't understand the living God, that's karma.
That's what they have defined it as. Yes. Yeah. Good clarification. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for truth. And that truth pushes the lies out. Thank you so much, Lord God. I came to faith trying to bring that idea of karma, trying to bring that idea of reincarnation. And you, in your patient way, pushed it all to the grave. But you are true. And you have life for us. You've bestowed it on us. What a great gift. But thank you, Lord, for the daily work you do in our life. Through the little things to shape us to be more like you, to get our attention, as well as through the big things, Lord. Sparing our girl through that car accident. That's huge. You are good. Father, through those that have not been spared through car accidents, you've been good. You've been good. Help us to watch for your goodness. Father, help us to apply this to our real life. In Jesus' name, amen.